Well, I was born into a family that has I have parents that are always on time. That's a good thing. They're the type that are where early's on time is late, and late is unacceptable. Okay, that's you've probably heard that terminology before. Now, I'm not always like that. I'm late at times here and there, but I have it. It's in my blood, though. You know, when I'm gonna be late, it really bothers me. I hate to run late, even though I do it sometimes. But growing up, that's all I knew. You know, when if we were going somewhere, I knew, you know, we'd be there 10 minutes early, 15 minutes early. I knew we'd have time beforehand to do any, you know, we'd be sitting there because we were, you know, we were always early. And when we said we were going to go somewhere, when we said we were going to be somewhere, we were there. And we were there early. As I got into middle school, I met a friend at school that, you know, many times when you make friendships and get together with someone, it's a lot of times it's someone that's opposite of you. Someone that's just like you may annoy you a little bit, like you see too much of yourself in them. And so I met a friend in middle school named Mike. And we became very good friends. And we started going to school together at fifth grade. And soon thereafter, we became very close friends. And we were... my friend and his family were nothing like us. Early was out of the question for them. On time was early, and late was pretty much the norm. You started to get this sense as, you know, I'd show up to school and I'm there, you know, 10 minutes ahead of school on time, and all of a sudden, where's Mike? Well, supposed to be here at 8:15. It's 8:14 and a half, and possibly he's running in right at that time. All right, I'm here. Quite even better possibility, you know, it's 8:20 or so that he's getting in late, and it's just that's the way it was all the way growing up. And as I grew up, and as I aged with them, I got to know them a little better, and I got to know his family a little bit better, and I got to know that's what I was to expect. You know, I knew if we planned for something at 9 o'clock, there was no way that we would ever be there at 9 o'clock. I knew that that wasn't going to happen. And, you know, we were part of the same church, and that church hardly ever started on time. It was just always late. And so as I aged with them, I realized what was going to happen. Now, this proved to be a problem, though, when I was... I don't remember what age I was. It was, if it was still, I don't know, seventh grade or so. Didn't have my license yet. But I had, you know, we were friends, but I had not fully understood the whole thing with their family and how late they were. One of the first things we planned together as far as getting together was during the summer. We said, let's go to Valley Fair. I said, oh, that would be awesome. And then after Valley Fair, we'll go. And I'll stay over at your house and we'll have a sleepover and, oh man, this is gonna be so much fun. All right, this is great. And so they said, okay, their family was gonna go and they said, we'll pick you up. And I don't remember what time they said. It may have been 9, I don't know. Let's just say 9, okay? They said, we'll pick you up at 9 and we're gonna go to Valley Fair. I said, yeah, all right. You know, and I was excited for the day at Valley Fair with my good buddy and their family and I was gonna stay overnight. And so I get up and I don't remember what time I got up, but I got up in the morning and, you know, I took my shower, I got ready, I changed my clothes, I got my shoes on, my hat on, I packed my bag, you know, I brought my baseball cards because we were going to trade baseball cards that night, or me and my buddy, and so here I was, you know, it was probably 8:45, 8:50, and I'm ready, you know, sitting by the door, I'm like, all right, I sit on my couch and I look outside and I'm like, all right, you know, I better be ready early because they might show up early, you never know. And so I'm there at probably 10:45, and I'm waiting for them. I'm looking out that window, and you know, minutes start to roll by. All of a sudden, it's 5:02. I'm like, well, they could be here any minute. And all of a sudden, it's you know, 8:58 or 8:59. I'm like, well, you know what? Now they'll be here any second because it's almost 9. And so, sure enough, I wait there, and I'm waiting. 9 o'clock hits. Nothing. And okay, well, it's got to be now. And they had to stop for gas. 901, 902, 903. And those minutes just keep adding up. All of a sudden, 15 minutes. All of a sudden, a half an hour. And every time I hear a car go by, I'm running out there like, oh, where are they? And they're not here yet. And I to this day, I don't remember exactly how late they were. I know it was over an hour late. And I tried to call their house at one point in time, and no answer. I'm like, okay, they're on their way. No, if they were, they stopped somewhere. And I'm waiting out there, and all of a sudden, sure enough, they pull up. And I'm just like, what? I've been waiting for like 2 hours or something like that, because I had been ready early, and I was excited. And they said, oh, why were you ready that early? I said, you said this time. And they said, oh, I don't remember that. Oh, we just said we were going to pick you up. It's like, no, you know, we set up a time. And that was my first foray into the frustration of their family. And there were many more after that. But the point of that illustration was, I knew that they were coming. I knew, I prepared. You know, I knew that, I thought I knew that they were going to be there at 9 o'clock. And so I prepared. I woke up at the right time. I put on the clothes. I packed my bags. I got prepared. I was ready to go out that door because I knew that they were coming that day. I knew that they were going to show up and that we were going to have a good time. Now, today and next week, as we look at the parables of Jesus, I want to talk to you about being prepared. We're going to be looking at two different parables from Jesus over the next couple of weeks, as we've been looking at parables of Jesus, and we're going to address this command and the truth of this need to be prepared. The interesting thing about these parables and their truth that we're going to be looking at, it's not really talking to us as the church, as the believers in our day and age. It's not really talking to us. We're the church. We're in the church age. I believe that we as a church are waiting for the rapture. I believe that Christ is going to return in the air and gather us to be with Him while the tribulation period takes place here on earth. At the end of that tribulation period, I believe that Christ will return to earth to usher in the millennium. And at that point, at the point of Jesus talking here, He is talking to the Israelites. He is talking to the Jewish people. And He is giving these parables in this Olivet discourse that you've probably heard. He is talking to these Jewish people. And the church here is still a mystery. It hasn't been fully revealed here. And so who He's talking to is these Jewish people. And what Jesus is talking about is the return of Christ at the end of the tribulation, at the end or at the beginning of the millennium. And He's talking to these Jews about the time when Christ would finally return to usher in the millennium. This time when He would come back. Now, if we are saved today, if we are part of the church, if we've trusted in Christ as our Savior, I do not believe that we're going to be here on earth during that time of tribulation. But I think we can still use the teaching of these passages to tell us that we need to be prepared. There is a rapture coming. Christ is coming to gather His bride. We have no idea when it will be, but we should be prepared, just like He's telling these Jewish people to be prepared for His coming. It may happen before the end of the sermon. It may happen before I reach the end of this sentence that I'm saying right now. We just don't know, and therefore, we need to be prepared. Let me just read through this one more time, this parable of these 10 virgins here in Matthew chapter 25, if you haven't already turned there. Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13, it says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily, or truly, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Let's bow in prayer as we prepare for this the sermon this morning. Lord, I thank you for the truth that we find here in this passage and the surrounding chapters here. And we pray, Lord, that we would be a group of people that are prepared. And Lord, I pray that the greatest preparation that we can make is the preparation of trusting in Christ as our Savior. Lord, I pray if there's any here this morning that are not, that have never taken that step of faith in Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray that they would see that they are unprepared. And Lord, that there is the imminent or the any time return of Christ in the air. Lord, I pray that they would see that they need to take care of this today. And Lord, I pray that you would guide as we look into your word this morning, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the Olivet Discourse that we're in the middle of here in chapter 25 actually begins in the 24th chapter. If you just look back in the 24th chapter, the Olivet Discourse starts back there, and Jesus here at the beginning, he's not quite in the Olivet Discourse, but he's talking about the overthrowing or the destruction of the temple. So he foretells of that here at the beginning of chapter 24, saying there in verse number 2, See not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another. There shall not be thrown, that shall not be thrown down. So he's telling about the future, the destruction of the temple. And then he also goes on as he starts his Olivet Discourse. He talks about the tribulation period. He talks about his return, the second advent, the second coming, and the fact that no one knows the day or the hour. Look in verse number 36 of chapter 24. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only. He says, there's no one that knows this day when I'm going to come again. Only the Father knows, not the angels. And he says, it could come at any time. And so, and then he goes on talking about the days of Noah. He says, look there in verse number 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall the two be in the field, and the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. In the days of Noah, talking about the flood, you know, nobody that heard Noah's warnings took him seriously. Now, Noah was going around saying, there's a flood coming. And they said, what's a flood? Well, it's rain. Well, what's rain? It's water that comes out of the sky. That's crazy. And it's going to cover everything. And it's going to destroy everything. They said, and they would look at him and they'd say, that's just absolute craziness. And he'd tell them why it was coming, because you've gone against God. And so Noah was out there warning the people, saying, you need to repent. You need to turn from your evil ways. And in those days, nobody listened to him. They said, oh, crazy Noah. He's out there building this big boat. And he's out building this ark, and he's preaching something about water coming from the sky and killing everything. And so they were going about their day or their lives like nothing was wrong. They were eating and drinking. They were marrying and giving in marriage. They were living life like nothing was going to happen. They were living life like tomorrow was going to happen, like next year was going to happen. They didn't think anything was going to happen, but judgment was coming. There was a judgment coming for these people, and they did not take heed to the warnings. And very soon, all of these people who were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, all of these people would be dead in just a matter of days, because they weren't listening to the warning of God, because they did not heed those warnings. And in that same way, at the end of that tribulation period that he's talking about, there are going to people that have not heeded the warnings, that have not seen all of the signs of the tribulation, have not seen, or they have seen it, they've seen all of the great struggles of the tribulation and all of the horrible happiness of the tribulation, and they've seen it all come to fruition. And at the end of it all, they say, oh, nope. Nothing's going on. There's going to be Jewish people at that time that say, nope, we don't see any of the correlation between what's happening now and what is foretold in scriptures. And they're going to be eating, they're going to be drinking, they're going to be marrying, they're going to be giving in marriage, thinking everything's going to be going just the way it has been, and it's going to continue on that way. But that's not the way it's going to be. They have not heeded the warnings. And they too are going to be taken away in judgment. They too are going to face that judgment. Therefore, since he is coming, and since we don't know when it will be, we should be prepared. Or as he's talking to the Jewish people, he says, you need to be prepared. And that brings us to the parable this morning in Matthew chapter 25. This parable tells a story of 10 virgins or 10 maidens. And the key to this parable is a stark contrast. And that's what we find throughout these parables in this section of scripture. These stark contrasts. The contrasts are between two groups. One group of five foolish virgins, and one group is five wise virgins. One group is not prepared. One group is prepared. And the setting that we find here in this story is one that is normal for this period of history. The 10 virgins would be the 10 witnesses, the 10 attendees of the wedding that were necessary at that time. There was a need for to be present at any office or ceremony as dealing with marriage ceremonies. They needed 10 people. They needed 10 witnesses. And the assumption here is that the bridegroom is coming from a great distance. That he says, I'm going to come, but it's from such a far distance, and I have no way of really letting you know too far in advance. But just be ready. I'm coming whenever. I'm coming from a far distance, and I'm going to be there at some point in time. I can't tell you exactly when, because it is such a far distance. But I'm going to be there, and be prepared for me, because I am coming. So they don't know when he's going to arrive. But they do know that he's going to arrive at any time. And it's in this situation that we find these two different groups of maidens. So let's first of all look at the foolish virgins. It says, five of them were wise, five of them were foolish there in verse number 2. And then it starts to talk about the foolish. Look there in verse number 3. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their lamps, and so these foolish virgins knew that the bridegroom was coming. They knew that this fact, the bridegroom is coming. They also knew that the bridegroom could come at any time. Okay, we're just waiting for the bridegroom. It could be any day. It could be any hour. And therefore, the bridegroom is coming, and they knew that he could come at any time. They knew that they had been invited to attend the wedding. They were one of the ones that were invited. Oh, we've been invited to this wedding. This picture is of an important wedding going on. And they had been invited to this important wedding. They had been invited to be one of the 10, one of these 10 maidens, one of the friends of the bridegroom that could come and attend this wedding. They had been invited. So they knew that the bridegroom was coming. They knew he was coming at any time. They knew that they had been invited. They knew that they didn't have enough oil for their lamps. They knew that what they had was maybe just enough to light their lamps and for a short little bit. They knew that they needed oil. So they knew that there was something that the bridegroom could come when it was night. They knew that they were invited and that they should be there. They knew that they didn't have enough oil, but yet they did nothing. They said, we're going to go to sleep. We're going to go to sleep knowing that we're unprepared. We're going to just take a rest here, and we're not prepared. And sure enough, the cry goes out at midnight. It says there in verse number 6, and at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. So the cry comes out, oh, he's here. He's here. He's come for the wedding. It's time. And what a, I mean, this should be an exciting time. This should be a time of, oh, this is wonderful. He's here. We should go out and see him. And what a strange time to begin a wedding march. Midnight. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being given a wedding invitation and saying, all right, here's your wedding invitation. I don't know when it's going to be, but just be prepared. We'll call you at the last second, and we want you to be there right away. Okay? And you say, okay, well, all right, we'll try. And all of a sudden that phone rings at midnight one night and say, it's time. It's wedding time. You know, sure, there would be excitement, but it would be like, midnight? This doesn't seem right. Why would we be having a wedding at midnight? But this just dramatically pictures what Jesus said in the previous chapter. Look in verse 44. Therefore, be ye also ready. In chapter 24, verse 44, it says, therefore, Jesus says, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. He says, just when you least suspect it, just when you, just at a time when you're not expecting it, I'm going to come. He's going to come in his own time. He's not waiting for people to become, for it's convenient for everyone. He says, I'm going to come in my time. Now these foolish virgins, these foolish maidens realized that they were in trouble. It says in verse number 7, then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, or got their lamps all ready for the traveling to the wedding venue and to take part of this wedding at night. And the foolish said there in verse number 8 unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. They said, hey, we're in trouble here. It's nighttime. The sun's not coming up for many hours. We need some of your oil. Here, give it to us. We're not prepared. We're not ready. And they realized they were in trouble. Their lamps were going out, and they realized they didn't have enough to last. They begged them to help. They said, please help us. But they couldn't. They said, we've prepared for ourselves. We didn't prepare for you. We prepared for ourselves. We have enough oil for ourselves and not for you. They had failed at being responsible for their own lamps. And then they go out late at night. It says that they, in verse number, go out rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And so they went out to buy. There in verse number 10, they went to buy. And they said, okay, let's go find someone. And so they're rushing around town trying to find someone at midnight or 12:30 at night saying, please, help us. We need oil. We have money. We need oil. We'll do anything. And in that time where they're out looking for other ways, looking to find a way to get the oil, in that time the bridegroom comes, gathers the attendees of the wedding, and they go in and they shut the door. The doors were closed. And then those foolish virgins go there and say, Lord, Lord, open to us. We're here. He says, no, you weren't prepared at my coming. You weren't prepared for me. And therefore, I never knew you. You know, they were invited, but he says, I don't know you. I don't know you. You weren't prepared. And there's the picture of these virgins being, of these maidens being kept out of the wedding because they were not prepared. But in contrast to them, we have the wise. These maidens knew the same things that the foolish virgins knew. They said, okay, we know that the bridegroom is coming. We know that he could come at any moment. We know that if we don't have enough oil, we're in trouble. So they said, all right, let's go out the day before. Let's go out and always keep enough oil with us, enough reserve oil, so that no matter what time of day he comes, that we are ready for him. We are ready to answer that call immediately. Oh, it's midnight. No, I don't expect it. No, this isn't the perfect time for a wedding. No, it's not convenient for me. But guess what? I'm prepared because I have this oil here, because I am ready. So instead of not being prepared, they went out and purchased oil ahead of time. And now they were prepared. And because of their preparedness, what happens? They are brought into the marriage. They are brought into that wedding. And they are brought in to attend this wedding. And the door was shut. And those that they knew before, that they warned them probably about the lack of their oil, they were not allowed in. And so at the end there, he says, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So what is Christ trying to teach here? Obviously, the bridegroom is Christ. The bridegroom is a picture of Christ. The bride is not mentioned anywhere in here. But as we establish in other parts of Scripture, when it's talking about the bride, it's usually talking about the church. Now, the fact that the bride is not mentioned here is a good picture of the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And the fact that this parable is picturing what is happening during the tribulation. He is coming back. The bride is already there waiting for him, and he's coming to receive the maidens and the virgins that were waiting for him to come. And those virgins represent Israel. You know, back in chapter 9 of Matthew, you don't have to turn there, but the Jewish people are referred to as the friends of the bridegroom. And so the five wise virgins are the believing remnant of Israel. They are the ones that do finally realize that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And therefore, we trust in His work on the cross. And therefore, we trust in Him, and we become a part of this remnant of Israel that's believing. But then those five foolish virgins are the unbelieving remnant. They're the ones that all the way to the end continue to say, Jesus was not the Messiah. We're still looking for the Messiah. And they are the unbelieving remnant. And he's giving this parable in light of what has already been taught in the previous chapter and around here. Now, some try to go through this parable and the entire parable and try to assign meaning to every little detail. Now, I'm not trying to say that these observations are completely invalid or wrong, but we have to be a little careful about assigning meaning to things that are maybe a little ambiguous. You see, the Israelites as a whole at this time had already been foolish. You know, they said, here's the Messiah. I mean, there is the Messiah. And he is offering the kingdom to these Jewish people. And they said, no. So they had already been foolish. They were not prepared to recognize the true Messiah. And they did not recognize him as who he was. But now he's telling them that he's going to go away. He's like, I'm going to go away. And I'm going to come again. And there's going to be a wedding. And you are invited. You are invited. But you need to be prepared. You need to be prepared for that wedding. You cannot be like these foolish virgins and just say, you know what? Well, I'm not going to prepare. I know these things, but I'm not going to prepare. And so he's telling them, he foretells the destruction of the temple. He foretells of the tribulation period. And much of this is still a mystery to these people. But he says, I'm going to go away for a while, but I'm going to return. And there's going to be this marriage supper. You don't have to turn there, but in Revelation 19, verses 6 and 7, he says, And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. They were invited to attend this wedding. But to attend, they had to be ready. They had to be prepared. They had not been prepared. That is the point of this parable. The contrast between the prepared and the unprepared. And the sad truth is that there are going to be many that once again are not going to be prepared. There were so many that were not prepared when he first came. And there's going to be many that will not be prepared the next time he comes. They may survive the tribulation, but they will not recognize the true Messiah. And there will be many that will be foolish like these five foolish virgins. And they will say, Lord, Lord. He says, no, I don't know you. You were not prepared in the way. To know you, you have to trust in my Son, Jesus Christ, and you have not done that. You I do not know. And therefore, you must stay out of the kingdom. You must stay out of the wedding. Even though you were invited, even though that was there for you to attend, but you did not prepare. The truth, even though this is specifically given to and about the Jewish people, has real applications for us. We have the same need to be prepared. everyone, whether Jew or Gentile, has the same need of preparation, of trusting in Christ. We all have the same problem, whether Jew or Gentile, with sin. We are all sinners. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. We have all come short and are not up to that holy, the target of holiness there. And therefore, we all need salvation. And therefore, we all have a need to be prepared. You know, we have no idea when Christ will come to gather His bride to Himself. We don't. We don't know the day. We don't know the hour. It could be any moment. There's only one way for us to attend this wedding. There's only one way for us to attend, and that is to be the part of the bride of Christ. And how do we become a part of the bride of Christ? It is by trusting in Jesus Christ as our Savior. And it says that we then are saved. We then are a part of the bride. We then can be a part of that wedding. We can be what it says in Revelation. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We have all been invited to this wedding. We've all been invited to become a part of, to be a part of the bride of Christ. The invitation is there. The ability to prepare is there. It's faith. All we have to do is respond by faith, trusting in Him. Don't be like these foolish virgins. They knew the truth. Maybe you know, you can almost go into their mindset. Maybe someone said, you know what, it could be tonight. But you know what, it's late. You know, maybe it was getting to be 10 o'clock at night, and they said, you know, it's late. It's 10 o'clock at night. You know, sure, He could come tonight, but it probably won't be. We've been expecting Him for a while now, and He hasn't come. It could be tonight. I'm going to go get extra oil tomorrow. I'll get it tomorrow. Say, sure, I'm not prepared tonight, but I'll get prepared tomorrow. But you know what? The coming happened that night, and they were not prepared, and they were shut out of the kingdom. They were shut out of the wedding. And the only way that we can be prepared is by trusting in Christ. And we have no idea when that's going to be, when He is going to come again. The rapture is going to be just like that second coming. We don't know when. It may come at a time when you least expect it. He's not waiting. He's not going to wait for you to come to that perfectly convenient time. It's going to come a time when it is His time. It may come before next week. It may come before tonight. Don't put it off any longer. Be prepared for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is going to happen. That is set in the Word of God, and it is truth. It is going to happen, and we need to be prepared. Let's bow in prayer.